We're going to look at Psalm 147, please. Psalm 147. And the title of my message today is Great is Our Lord. Great is Our Lord. Psalm 147, we're going to start reading in verse 1, please. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is a pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them by all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth food to the beast. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Lord, help us today. Thank you again for all that you do for us. We're so unworthy. Lord, forgive us our sins. Forgive me and my sin. Have mercy on us. Lord, help us as a church. Help us to look to you. God, we plead your presence here today. May the power of the Holy Spirit be with us. And may we feel his presence in our hearts and in our minds. And may he guide us into all truth. And may we leave here rejoicing in the fact that we serve a great God. Thank you so much for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, for allowing us to meet one more Sunday. We ask that you'd help our nation. We ask you protect our military. We ask, Lord, that you'd have mercy on us. And God, do a work in our country. Do a work in our churches. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And for his sake, amen. You know, the Bible says his people have a great reason to praise. His people have a great reason to praise. In verse 1, it says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. What that means is praise looks good on you. Praise looks good on you. As we sit here today, the heaven, the third heaven, is filled with praise. As a matter of fact, the birds praise the Lord every morning, don't they? But around the throne, it's filled with praise. The Apostle John in the book of Revelation said, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Can you imagine what heaven's going to sound? If you like a nice, quiet church service, you're not going to care too much for heaven. It's going to be loud there. It's going to sound like thunder in the ocean. And they're going to say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is reigning. I do want to report to you today that God is reigning today. He's in control. He's not trying to reign. He is reigning. The Bible says he removeth kings and he setteth up kings. The Bible, he's been reigning. He's reigning now and he's going to reign. Amen. So he's in control of every little thing. God's in control of every little thing. And everything is going exactly according to His plan. Everything is going exactly. So don't get too upset because everything's right on schedule. Amen. Everything's right on schedule. He is omnipotent. They're singing in heaven today, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He reigns. And that alone is reason to praise. That alone is reason to praise. I think I've got 5 points. Number one, He gathers the outcast. Look at verse 2. He gathers the outcast. The Bible says here, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. I want to report to you today, and I'm happy to report, that God gathers the outcast. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He's gathering the outcast. Those of us who were outside of Christ have now been brought nigh to Christ or close to Christ. And how is it done? Because you're such a nice person? No. Because you're such a good person and you keep the law? No. Not because you're good to your neighbor. He gathers the outcast through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. It's through the blood of Jesus. I'm glad today that He gathers the outcast, aren't you? God often gathers His people out of the world's castaways. The Bible says that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. He didn't come to save good people. He came to save sinners, and we're all sinners, but some of us are worse than others, amen? He came to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. Well, if He can save the chief of sinners, He can probably save you. Amen. But He came to this world to save sinners. And you know something? A lot of times He comes to this world to save people the world don't like. I'll tell you, I'll go a little further than that. A lot of times, maybe most time, He comes to this world to save people that even Christian people don't like. He come to save harlots and drunkards and dopers. He come to save people that's committed murder. He's come to save people that's had abortions. He's come to save all manner of sinners. He come to save the outcast. He's gathered the outcast. He come to get the world's offscouring, the world's rejects. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not to bring not things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. If you think you've got some reason to be saved, you're probably not saved. Listen, it's just the grace of God, folks. I don't care if you was raised in church or raised on a bar stool. It's just the grace of God. It's just the grace of God. And I'm glad that God, I've told you this before, and Miss Rucker was my teacher. But in the yearbook, if they'd have had most likely to end up in jail, I'd have been probably my picture. If they'd have had a category least likely to be a preacher, that would have been my picture. But I'm telling you, God does what He wants to do. And He can reach down and save whoever He wants to. I'm glad for that. The Bible says here, He's gathered together the outcasts of Israel. I'm glad that He goes. I'm glad that he doesn't just stay with the beautiful people. I'm glad that he goes, and sometimes he gets the outcast, aren't you?
Amen.
I'm glad for that. Secondly, he heals the brokenhearted. Verse 3, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He heals the brokenhearted. Not only does he go after the outcast, he gathers the outcast, he heals the brokenhearted. Jesus said when he was in the temple and he was fulfilling Isaiah chapter 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of our Lord. Jesus Christ came to this world not only to save, and he does save, but he came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus is the great physician. Jesus is the great physician. Man is hopelessly broken. We're hopelessly broken, folks. We got a bad heart. We got a bad heart. We need a heart transplant. And the only way you can get that is through the great physician, Jesus Christ. That's the only way you're going to get that. You can go to Cleveland Clinic, but they can't do it. They can change your physical heart there, but they can't give you a new spiritual heart, can they? Jesus Christ can heal the broken heart. The Bible says that man is sin sick from head to toe. He's sin sick from head to toe. And there's only one remedy. There's only one remedy. It's the gospel. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only remedy, folks. That's the only thing that can help you. It's the only thing that can help you. I remember an old story I read one time about this fella. I can't remember if he was just ignorant or if it was back in the backwoods or something. But the doctor said, "You're really sick. I'm going to write you a prescription." So he wrote it out and he handed it to the fella. And he said, "Now here, you need to take this and you'll start feeling better in a couple days." Well, he come back about 4 days later and he said, "Doctor, I'm no better." He said, I'm not the least bit better." He said, "Yeah." He said, "Did you take the medicine? Did you, the prescription? Did you take it?" He said, "Yeah, I ate that piece of paper you gave me. It didn't help me a bit." Well, listen, you might know the gospel. You might have heard the gospel. You might even be able to recite the gospel, but you have to accept the gospel. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to trust him to be your substitute. You have to turn from your way to his way. It's not enough just to know it. And I can tell you right now, he can heal the brokenhearted. He can heal the brokenhearted. Verse 4, here's the fascinating thing about this passage. I got chill bumps on my arms when I think about it. Look at verse 4. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by name. So in two verses there, he goes from healing the brokenhearted to numbering the stars. How about that? We serve a great God, don't we? It reminded me, when I read that this morning, I've been up since 5 studying, amen. What I'm giving to you is right out of the oven, amen. It's fresh bread. But as I was studying this morning, I thought of that song, "May I introduce you to this friend of mine who hangs out the stars and tells the sun when to shine, who kisses the lilies each morning with dew, but he's not too busy to care about you." What a great God we serve. What a great God we serve. The Bible says in Psalm 147, verse 5, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." His understanding is infinite. Isn't that something? His understanding is infinite. The Bible tells us here in verse 4 and verse 8 and 9, let's just read them. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by names. I don't know how many stars there are. Some of you science buffs might know, but he knows every one of them. God named every one of them. He calls them all by name. He calls you by name. He knows you by name. Verse 8, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth the rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. I'm just trying to tell you today, he rules heaven and earth. Our God rules heaven and earth. So number one, he gathers the outcast. Number two, he heals the brokenhearted. Number three, he lifts up the meek. Verse 6, the Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Now look at that again, if you got your Bible in front of you. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. He contrasts two people there, doesn't he? The meek and the wicked. I don't know about you, but I think I want to be in that meek group. I don't want to be in that group that he cast down to the ground. He lifts up the Bible says in James chapter 4, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Amen. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. I think it was C.H. Spurgeon who said, if you don't humble yourself, God will do it. When I was a kid, I'd do something wrong. I know y'all find that hard to believe. But I'd do something bad. And my dad would know it. And he'd say, did you do such and such? And he said, now wait. He said, it'll go easier on you if you tell me the truth. In other words, we need to humble ourselves. It'll go easier on you. It'll go easier on you. The Bible says, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. I don't want to be mean to you, but what have we got to be proud of? We're just sinners. Brother, you're right. All we've got to be proud of is Jesus. There's nothing else we can't boast in ourselves. God resisteth the proud. I don't want God to resist me. Do you want God to resist you? But he gives what? Grace to the humble. I need more grace. I need more grace. You need more grace? If you've arrived, then I don't even know what you're doing here today. I'd go on down to IHOP, get me a stack of pancakes instead of being here. If you've arrived, amen. But I need more grace, don't you? And he gives grace to the humble. These six things in Proverbs chapter 6, the Bible says, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And as I read this portion of Scripture this morning, I couldn't help but think about the abortion that goes on in this country. It's no wonder we're in the mess we're in. I want to tell you number four, he knows all about us. Verse 5. Great is our Lord and of great power, his understanding is infinite. It's infinite. I want to tell you, I don't know everything about you guys. I know a little bit about some of you. I know more than I want to know about some of you. But You know something? God knows everything. He knows everything about me. He knows everything about you. You go in your house and shut the door, I may not know what goes on, but God knows everything. He knows everything about us, doesn't he? He knows exactly where you're at right now in your life. He knows what kind of problems you have. He knows what kind of difficulties you have. He knows if you've got health problems or money problems or marriage problems. He knows everything about it. He knows everything about all that. The Bible tells us here, his understanding is infinite. His understanding is infinite. He knows every little detail of our lives. He knows everything about your past. He knows everything about your present, and he knows everything about your future. I don't know why last night I was looking down at my hand, and I guess I've watched too many of them old movies. I was looking at my hand, and I thought, well, I wonder how long I'm going to live according to these lines. You know, I needed a gypsy, but I didn't have one. You know, they can look at your hand and tell you how long you're going to live, supposedly. But listen, God knows exactly how long you're going to live. Amen. He knows everything about our future, doesn't he? He knows all about us. He knows what no one else knows. He knows our thoughts. His understanding is infinite, the Bible says. We serve a great God, don't we? Great is our Lord. He's a great God. Romans 11:33 tells us, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? You know what Paul's saying there? He's saying, did God bring any of y'all up and say, hey, I need some advice? I can tell you the answer, he didn't. Right? Who knows the mind of the Lord and who's been his counselor? His ways are past, he's infinite. His ways are past finding out. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. I got good news for you today. God's not tired. I'm tired. I was lifting something into Rose's car out there a little while ago, and I made some kind of noise, you know. And she said, what's the matter? I said, I'm down in the back. God's not down in the back. He's not tired. He's not sick. He's not weary. Everything's running fine. Amen. He fainteth not, neither is weary, and there's no searching of his understanding. Here's the good part. Let me read on to you. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. In other words, God gives you power to keep going. God gives you strength to keep going. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They should run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. So you and I, we need to wait on the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord. We need to depend on the Lord. So number one, he gathers the outcast. Number two, he heals the brokenhearted. Number three, he lifts up the meek. If you want to be lifted up, you're going to have to be meek. Pride, I hate to get back on this, but I think I better. Pride will kill you. I mean, I've even seen these bumper stickers on an old 1980 model Pinto with the fenders rusting off. I'm poor, but I'm proud. Pride. Pride is the last thing to go for. It is. You'll have to fight it. But if you want God's grace, you're going to have to kill pride and be meek, be humble.
Amen.
He lifts up the meek. Don't ever, you know, sometimes you see a Christian, maybe a fellow Christian, you look, and they've got into trouble, maybe they're in sin, and you look at them and say, "I'd never do that." Well, that's dumb. Don't say that. You might do it. Don't get yourself in that kind of shape. Amen. The devil might take that as a challenge. What we need to say is, by the grace of God, I hope I never do that. I hope I never fall into sin like that or get in a shape like that. He that, I can't quote it exactly, but he that thinketh he stands, take heed. Because you're in, if you think that, you remember, I feel sorry for Peter, the Apostle Peter, because I always think of him. But he, when the Lord said they were going to deny him, Peter said, "These other guys might, Lord, but I won't." Didn't it? Be humble. Number four, he knows all about us. Number five, he delights in those who fear and hope in him. Verse 10, he delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. What that verse is saying there, verse 10, those are battle terms. The strength of an army was the strength of its men and the strength of its horses. Today we'd say F-16s and tanks and stealth bombers. But listen, back then the battle was, they depended on horses and the strength of their warriors. But the Bible's telling us here that God's not impressed with that. God's not impressed with our strength. He's not impressed as our strength as individuals. He's not impressed with our strength as a nation. He's not impressed with our knowledge. The Bible says what? Knowledge puffs up. That's what's wrong with us. We've gotten too smart for God. Knowledge has puffed people up. Listen, folks, in my lifetime, we've went from putting a man on the moon to putting a man in a woman's bathroom. He doesn't delight in our knowledge. His knowledge is what? Infinite. Man's puny. He doesn't delight in our outward beauty. The Bible says beauty is vain. Stick around long enough and that beauty will go, I promise you. Amen. He doesn't delight in our physical strength. I mean, Steve, there was a time I thought I was a pretty strong fella. But I don't have that physical strength anymore like I had when I was a young man. Physical strength, it wanes, doesn't it? It goes away. It goes away. He doesn't delight in our military might. He doesn't. That's what the Bible's saying here. He doesn't delight in, none of that stuff impresses God. None of that stuff impresses. The Bible says men are like grasshoppers to him. We're like grasshoppers. Verse 11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. What does God take pleasure in? He takes pleasure in those who fear him. Do you fear the Lord today? I want you to hold your place, and we're closing in here. Psalm 33, please. Psalm 33. I want to read some verses to you. Psalm 33, verse 13. The Lord, Psalm 33, it shouldn't take you that long. You're in the book already. Psalm 33, verse 13. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, verse 18, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. That's just what we read, wasn't it? What's God saying there? God's saying, I look down from heaven. He said, we're all made out of the same stuff. We're all made out of the same stuff. He said, there's no king save by the multitude of an host, and a mighty man is not delivered by much strength. In other words, if God decides to come out against the people, they're in trouble. There's no army going to save them if God decides to come out against them. But there's one thing that he takes pleasure in. He takes pleasure in those who fear him and those who hope in his mercy. Those who hope. I'm here to report to you this morning, I'm hoping in his mercy. If it wasn't for the mercy of the Lord, I would already be in hell. I'm hoping for his mercy. As Christians, we need to be humble. I'm going to give you some closing thoughts. As Christians, we need to be humble. We need to be humble. And we need to be meek. There's no such thing as a proud Christian. The word Christian means Christ-like, right? He took on the form of a servant and humbled himself, didn't he? We need to be humble. Pride, J.C. Ryle, the old Anglican preacher from the 1800s, said, pride comes from not knowing yourself and the world. The older you grow and the more you see, the less reason you will find for being proud. Ignorance and inexperience are the pedestal of pride. I'm going to say it again because that's probably the best thing I've said today besides the Bible. Ignorance and inexperience are the pedestal of pride. You know what the old preacher's saying there? He said, the reason you're proud is, you ain't been down the road far enough. That's the reason you're proud. And when you get down the road a little further, you'll find out that God knocks you off of your high horse. And you're going to find out you're made out of the same stuff everybody else is. And if you get to heaven, it'll just be by the grace of God. And I tell you something. You ever heard of the school of hard knocks? We need to fear God. Psalm 111, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. So we need to fear God. We need to be meek. We need to be humble. We need to praise God. We got a lot to praise God about. Amen? We got a lot to praise about. And we need to have our hope in God. We need to have our hope in God. Verse 21 of Psalm 33. For our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. I can't rejoice too much in the government. I can't rejoice too much in my finances. I can't rejoice too much in my health sometimes. There's a lot of things I can't rejoice in, but I can rejoice in him. I can rejoice in him. He's my hope. We need to look to him. We need to trust him, and we need to praise him. We need to praise him. And if you're not a Christian, you need to turn to him. You need to turn to him. Jesus died for our sins, the Bible says. The question is, has He saved you? You trusted Him and Him alone. The Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. In due time. The Bible goes on to say, for God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? The invitation is this: come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. If you don't know Him today, today's the day, amen. Trust Him. Christians, look to Him. Praise Him. Humble yourselves. Fear Him. Do what He says. Live for Him. He might come back real soon. I'd like to be found doing what I'm supposed to be doing, wouldn't you? I mean, I hope everybody in this room, I hope you're where you ought to be when the Lord comes back. I'm telling you, there's some folks, they're way out in the weeds, ain't they? I want to be close to Him. I want to be close to Him. I know that's your prayer this morning too. Brother Les, you come ahead. Sister Ginger, we'll sing a song.